Why do you think these generations have drifted in their attitude about the church?
I don't have a great answer for that. Again, I think a part of it is they have more options. They have more money, I think, in many ways. People who grew up in the Great Depression were forever affected by that. My parents were forever affected by the fact that they grew up in the Great Depression. They knew what it was like to be hungry and not to have enough. Last night when I went to bed, I thanked God for an air-conditioned house because I remember what it was like in the hot summertime when we had no air conditioning. I'm grateful for an air-conditioned house. I'm grateful for a house that's warm in the wintertime. We have a generation now that takes that for granted. They've always had air conditioning, and they've always had a heated house in the winter. You know, I grew up when you got an apple when it was apple season. Now you can have an apple every day. They bring them from wherever they need to. You can buy apples any day, strawberries any day. There's nothing seasonal anymore, per se. You can have whatever you want when you want it, by and large. I saw in a recent Gallup poll, 92% of Americans supposedly still say they believe in God, and many of them would say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I think it's a much tougher situation. Another thing, when I was doing evangelism in Houston right out of seminary, the neighborhood where I was sent, you could still walk up to a house, ring a doorbell, and people would invite you in. Now, I have a really difficult time getting people to answer the phone. They all have caller ID, and if they don't want to talk to you, they don't pick up the phone, or they don't want to talk, they want you to text them or something else, you know. Also, when I got a commitment back down there, I get a commitment, yes, we're ready to join. I got a husband and a wife and 4 teenage kids. I got 6 new members. We had 4 people join Boston Avenue the other day, and they were 4 singles. Now, that's wonderful. I mean, I'm glad to have them. But in the old days, if I got 4 commitments, I'd have 20 new members, not 4. So it's a very different world. A lot more single parents, a lot more single adults choosing to wait until later to get married and so on. So that makes it different.
Yeah. Yeah. And the church is trying different ways to interest people. Like today we have traditional services and we have contemporary services.
Yeah.
Boston Avenue, do you have a contemporary service?
We do not.
You've chosen not to go that route. Many churches, of course, have media enhancements, screens used in many churches. Mm-hmm. And you do not.
We do not.
So that's a conscious decision on your part.
It is.
Why have you made that decision? And do you think you could be losing out because others are using these modern-day conveniences?
We could be. Only time will tell for sure. My feeling has been that there are enough churches in Tulsa and enough Methodist churches in Tulsa that people can choose. And that we would try to be the church for people who wanted to worship, for lack of a better word, traditionally. When I came here and saw the other Methodist churches in Tulsa, which I had never known before, I decided we would be the one that would reclaim our Anglican roots, that we would move more in that direction. Boston Avenue was not having choirs process when I arrived. We started that. Ministers weren't wearing stoles to go with the seasons of the year. We started that. We had to buy stoles. My predecessors were not lectionary preachers that put a great deal of emphasis on whether it's Advent or Christmastide or Epiphany or Lent or whatever. I think that's very important. And I believe it's not so important that I preach my favorite text, but that I preach God's whole story. So the lectionary is a way to do that, so that I preach not only from Genesis, but I preach from texts in Revelation that aren't my favorite. But it's a part of God's book, so what can I say about that and still be faithful to the book? So far, you know, I'm close enough to the end of the road now that I'm not going to have to make that decision, really. I have made it for the rest of my ministry. What Boston Avenue will do next, I couldn't tell you for sure.
Because as we're talking now in 2011, and we expect 10, 25, 50 years, they can still listen to this because of our technology.
Right.
And so we should say, and then today we have satellite churches. People gather for a live feed from a main mm-hmm. church sanctuary, or maybe a recorded sermon. Churches have built out space in shopping malls. Right. So from your days of ministry, even coming here to Tulsa, all of this has happened in the last 30 years that I'm talking about.
Yes.
I don't know what I call it. you will be the one to call this. There's a change from this traditional way of preaching, which is very much apparent here in Boston Avenue. Mm-hmm. And so when you see all this going on out there, you say, well, that's interesting. That's good. They're getting people that maybe we can't get.
Correct. Again, when I was with Dr. Charles L. Allen in Houston all those years ago, he said, thank God for the Episcopalians. They draw people that no one else is drawing. Thank God for the Assemblies of God. They draw people that others are not drawing. He said in little towns back in those days, people differentiate themselves by denomination. But in big cities, even United Methodists can differentiate themselves. So we don't have to be a clone of First Methodist, nor they of us, nor Asbury, nor Christ, nor St. James, and any of these others. People have a choice to make. And as long as we're all being as faithful to God's book as we know how and to God as we know God, then how that message is presented, you know, I think people do have different tastes and they do have different things that appeal to them. People who come to Boston Avenue now, our greatest window into their homes and their lives, Channel 8, it's number one because I make the calls myself. Channel 8 is the way. When they see us on Channel 8, they either decide, this is the way I like to do it, or it's not the way I like to do it. When they come down here, they've already pretty much made a decision. This is the way I like to worship. Also, people move here from other places, and often their pastor will tell them before they ever get here, based on what that pastor does, well, you're going to really want to go to St. James, or you're going to want to go to Will Rogers United Methodist, or you're going to be happy at Boston Avenue. We had a new family last Sunday from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I know their pastor well, and he told them, of the churches in Tulsa, you're going to be at home at Boston Avenue. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. But there are other pastors who send their people to other churches
sure.
because they know they approach things differently.
Right. And even in your 30 years here, our dress in church has changed.
Oh, indeed.
A more casual dress, as I grew up, and I still do, a suit and tie is
yeah.
what I'd wear to church.
Yeah.
And now that's different.
Well, when we got married, you know, as little money as we had, Gail wore hats to church. All the women wore hats to church when we got married, and certainly women wore dresses. Now I go to meetings where United Methodist bishops, women bishops, are wearing pantsuits. And we see worshipers, of course, wear pantsuits often, and they're certainly welcome here. We see our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, wearing nothing but pantsuits these days. So, yes, dress has changed dramatically. There are pastors in Tulsa who choose to wear slacks and shirt or dockers and knit shirts to work every day. I wear a white shirt 6 days a week. I shine my shoes. I wear suits. I don't wear sport coats even to work. I wear suits because I think that's important in the way when I go see a doctor, I expect her or him to look like a doctor in that sense. I feel more comfortable when they look like a doctor. Even though there are days when I certainly could dress more casually, that may be a day too when I hear that someone has just been killed in a car wreck and need me immediately or something. And when I get there, I want to look like their pastor, as I understand that role.